Hello, this is being recorded on Sunday, September 18th. Today I want to talk about a couple different things. First, I want to talk about the rollout in a little bit more detail, exactly how I presented the rules of the game to the students in the class. And then I just want to talk a little bit about what happened in the past week. The rollout was a concern of mine early on because I knew that the game was complicated and I wanted to make sure that I didn't give the kids too much. I ended up actually slowing down the rollout from my original plan just because I didn't want the kids to get totally lost. This is sort of how it laid in. On the first week, on the first day, I introduced the basic notion of what the game was and how it worked. And then I gave the students a letter that they needed to bring home to their parents. On the second day, I went through a paper that was listed as the Rules of Diderol. In actuality, it was a list of the formatting rules and other expectations for the papers that they were going to do in the class. For example, double spacing. All the time, they need to be double spacing. Another example, name block and date on the paper. In the game, the block is called Realm, and they're allowed to use their avatar name, which is shorter than their regular real name, on the papers. On the third day, I talked about bamboo. Bamboo is called bamboo because that is basically each of the pieces are little bamboo forks. They were designed to be cocktail forks, I suppose. I found them online very inexpensively. It was $18 for a package of 1,000 of them, and that included the shipping costs. It was pretty much what I was looking for in terms of a token that I could use that was inexpensive. Bamboo is used in the classroom as a focus token, in other words, a reward for the students that are doing what they're supposed to be doing when they're supposed to be doing it. When I'm walking around and it's a work session time, if I notice that they're really writing or having a conversation that's totally on topic, then I'll put bamboo down in front of them. Once they gather up enough, it can be used in the game in various ways. On day four, I talked about something called achievements. Achievements are things that the student might do in their writing intentionally in order to get a little bonus, or things that they might do unknowingly that are currently hidden from them. And if they do that, then it unlocks the achievement. So it's sort of a little bit of a surprise, but it also encourages them to try doing different things. And in each case, what they get basically is an address sticker when they get an achievement, an address sticker that has information posted onto it. The information is going to be, you know, something like +1 experience point. They will then put that onto a special sheet that they have in a special folder, which is called Librum. The Librum of Diderol is just a place where they can keep their game-related items. So the little slips of paper that indicate that they have equipment for their avatar, a little slip of paper that indicates their avatar's name, a little slip of paper that indicates what their level is in the game. Each of these are business card sized, but I just used regular paper. Another thing that I covered on the fourth day of week one is the roles that they might play. In the game, there are different roles that they can take on. If they primarily feel that they're good at writing fiction, then they might be a reality maker or a vision maker. If they are particularly talented in the realm of nonfiction, they might be a truth teller or a life teller. So there are all these different roles. And basically, the idea is that they give them certain qualities that will help them when they go to level up. And they also each have a handicap. In week two, I started off, and this past week was week two, so I started off with talking about leveling up, and I showed them how it works. There's an algorithm involved. I'm not going to get into that in too much detail at this point, but in short, I showed them how they get experience points based on the writing that they did. It is assessed on a 6 traits rubric. It comes up with a base score, and then there may be multipliers that are added in. Early on in the game, for a standard piece of writing that's a few pages long, they're probably going to get something like 30 or 40 experience points, depending on how much work they put into it and what the quality of the writing is. I also started giving news in the kingdom right at the beginning, but I started getting into it more seriously in week two. On day one of week two, I presented that there was a nasty, extra crabby, agitated beast roaming the countryside. Actually, they knew that from the previous week, but it was released on the first day of this week that that beast is a rodent. On day two of week two, I had them start up their Tome of Pride, which is just the kingdom gaming term for their portfolio. The first thing that went into that Tome of Pride was a brief example of their best handwriting. I gave them a sheet of paper, I had them write two simple, straightforward sentences, told them to make sure that they copied it exactly correctly, the best that they could. That lets me know what they're capable of doing if they decide to go to a best draft form and they don't want to type it. But more importantly, it gives me something that I can show the parents if a parent were to come in complaining, which has happened sometimes in other years, pointing out how terrible their child's handwriting is and they have a first draft in their hand. Well, I want the kid to get the idea down as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. And if that means being sloppy, I'm okay with that, provided that they can do it neatly if they want to. So this is just a quick way for me to get a baseline for what their handwriting is like and an example that I can use with parents. On day two, there was no updates on the beast. There were rumors, but they were declared to be spurious. And I should just mention that I'm using fairly sophisticated language when I'm talking to the kids in this game, and when I wrote up the little cards that they get, I intentionally used a more complex set of words because I give them credit if they look them up. And then we post them over in Rock Lore, which is the province of word choice. And we're gradually building up on a space of display area, a collection of words they might be able to use in their writing. But at any rate, that was just a rumor, and it actually has been proven by Vulcanian scientists that the beast couldn't possibly have been where it was reported that it was. Bob Lay, a fictional character, came to visit Flo, a fictional character, and brought news that students, that is to say players, can actually get credit for the writing that they do in other classes. So there is a form that they can fill out if they do a piece of writing in science or social studies or music class. They can bring that writing back to the kingdom, and they get partial credit for it there. Because I figure wherever they're writing, and I want to see it, and I want to know about it. Moreover, if they bring it back to the kingdom, they have the option to work on revising it. Many of the teachers with whom I am working are willing to look at that revised paper and revise their grade because they recognize the importance of having kids do revisions in their work. So it's a win-win situation for the kids. It'll improve their XP in the game, but it also will afford them an opportunity to improve their writing for the class that it came from. Finally, a herd of wild ponies had been spotted in Vulcania. On day three, I presented an optional quest. There are some quests that are required, there are others that are optional. This optional one was to design a durable and attractive crown for King Law, who is really the game master, who is really me, so that he can make public appearances, because right now his old crown is broken. And the objective is to try to make it not only durable and attractive, but also have it ornamented with things that are specifically language arts related. A second quest was introduced, and this is a mandatory one, and that is to tame one of those wild ponies that had been spotted in Vulcania. Wild ponies equals writing process. I used a lot of acronyms in the game. So, what they need to do, basically, is decide if they're going to tame a friendly pony, which is good for one experience point, and it's a very simple matching quiz. They can tame a suspicious pony, which is good for 3 experience points, and that's a fill-in-the-blank quiz. Or they can tame a vicious pony for 5 experience points, and that's basically a blank sheet of paper in which they describe the writing process in detail. They need to get everything right on whichever one they choose in order to get the experience points. And if they don't, they need to go back and study and then come back and do it again. Now, along with this quest came a training session. During the training session, I introduced how to take notes, basically with a modified Cornell note-taking style, and I explained why that would be a useful way to take notes. So they're getting the content now, in other words. Enough of the rollout has occurred that I'm beginning to push them further and further into the language arts component of the kingdom. One other thing happened on day three, and that was I introduced a new character. It's a dog squeak toy that looks like an old man rubber chicken. It is the rubber chicken of double spacing. If a player sees another player writing, and that other player has forgotten to double space, then the first player can scurry over, pick up the rubber chicken of double spacing, and bring it, and either in a friendly manner, just sort of wave it in front of the non-double spacing player, or in a slightly less friendly, but in a decidedly more fun way, they can squeeze the rubber chicken of double spacing, making it squeak to remind that player that double spacing is important in the kingdom. In the news that day, I also mentioned that the beast was glimpsed in Fastidiosa. So over the course of time in the news releases, the track that the beast was following was being presented. And I also mentioned that a character in Fastidiosa who was in charge of filing was overwhelmed. Finally, I announced that the guilds would be beginning tomorrow. And then on that tomorrow, day four of the week, and there are only 4 days in the week because of the way our block rotation works in the school, on that day four, the guilds were put together, and the kids now have to sit in a truly heterogeneous group. I teach multi-age, so I have 7th graders and 8th graders, and of course male and female, and of course students that struggle more and students that are more successful in language arts. I tried to give a mix in each of the groups. Essentially, I'm assigning seats, but what's really interesting is when I presented it as guilds and told them that they were working together as a team, I didn't have anybody complain that they weren't sitting with their friends. It's very interesting how this gaming overlay influences the way that they respond to the things that have to happen in the class. Then I had them embark on their first guild quest, and that was basically just a little brainstorming session where I would put a pattern for a particular word format, such as consonant, vowel, consonant, and they had to come up with a list of as many words as fits that pattern as possible. It gave them a chance to work together as a team, and in sort of a gaming type format, and it also gave them a chance to see if they could win a special lawn ornament. A lawn ornament is something that a guild will have. Again, it's a little business card sized piece of paper, but many of the lawn ornaments will have no effect. Some of them actually will be multipliers to help boost the scores when the students go to level up, and it only applies to the students in that particular guild. The news for day four was that there was a huge spear. I believe I said that it was 9 Kinglaw handspans in length. And Vulcanian scientists had recognized that it was organic and that it was not carved, but the strange markings on it seemed to have grown into place. It was an extreme close-up of a photograph that I found online, and the students had different speculations at that point as to what sort of creature they're dealing with that they'll be facing soon enough. A couple guessed that it was a mouse tail, and a couple guessed it was a porcupine. I'll talk about the results of that in a future podcast. Now, part two. I just want to talk very briefly about the gaming dynamic and how it is influencing students. They are eager to get new items. These are the virtual little slips of paper that describe things. And the item that I'm giving out mostly right now are pieces of Elsewhere. Elsewhere are basically story starters, just little prompts. They give them ideas for something that they might write about, and a very small boost to the score if they choose to do that sort of writing. For example, they might get a plush William Shakespeare, and then there's a description of the doll that they just got. If they turn that in with a piece of writing as it is described on the card, then they'll get an extra bonus of, I think it's like 3 experience points on that one. That means that basically I just gave them a new assignment. They love it, and what amazes me is that they're actually doing these forms of writing that they otherwise probably wouldn't even consider doing by choice. I have a student that is writing a report on Shakespeare's life now. If I had assigned that and said it was optional, nobody would have done it. In the gaming overlay, though, all of a sudden, hey, wow, an extra 3 experience points. I can do that. And moreover, if the student does that and actually includes a works cited page that is set up correctly, they'll get additional bonus points. Well, I have a feeling I'm going to get a works cited page that's set up appropriately. The gaming dynamic is making a difference. I can see it already. And I'm finding the entire notion very intriguing and pretty exciting. More next time. Larry Graykin signing out for this week.